Well, we're continuing our study through the book of Timothy, and as we begin this morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say, be approved by God. And your neighbor's going to say, what does that mean? And you're going to say, pastor's going to tell us. All right. This was a story that came out Monday or Tuesday of this week in the Courier-Journal, Louisville, Kentucky. A Louisville family is filing a lawsuit against Walmart, and they filed it on Monday. Did you read about this? Now, claims made in filing a lawsuit present only one side of the case, and a call was made to Walmart officials, but it was not immediately returned. According to the suit, the Grants bought milk on May 1st at a Sam's Club, which is owned by Walmart at 1401 Alliant Avenue, and the container had not been tampered with. On May 5th, the family opened the milk and drank from it for 3 days before Rosalind Grant discovered a dead mouse in the container. Ew! Oh, that just hurts. This has been a traumatic experience for the Grants. I imagine so, said Lexington attorney William Davis, who is representing the family. They were completely shocked. Yes, I imagine so. Davis said that the family took the gallon of milk and the mouse to the health department and filed a written complaint. The family has stored the mouse and the milk in the freezer, he said. How many of you would like to drink milk that has a mouse in it? No, we don't want mice in our milk. We want pure milk from a cow that has just come out that we can drink it. We don't like impurities in our milk. Today we're gonna continue on this Bible study, this sermon series on the book of 2 Timothy. And you have to remember that Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, these are the things that I want you to do. As you're leading the flock, as you're being a leader in the church of Jesus Christ, these are the things that I want you to do. And then he says to them, I want you to do this. It's in verse 15. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. He says, present yourself as one approved. Now, you're all looking, it's like, what in the world is that word approved mean? And if you go back into the original Greek and you look at the usage of that word in the time of Paul and at the time of Jesus, the word basically means this: present yourself as a genuine person, as an authentic person. Now, the word that was used there actually meant that it was a refinement process. You were refined. See, now, in that time, there was a lot of money circulating, there was a lot of gold circulating, there was a lot of silver circulating, and a person could give you a silver coin or a gold coin or a piece of gold or a piece of silver, and they would say, this is authentic gold, or this is authentic silver. And by the outside, you might look at it and you'd say, okay, that is authentic silver or gold. Now today, what we would do is we'd place it on a scale, and we know how much gold weighs, right? It's a very heavy metal. And we could see what the volume of the gold is and the weight of the gold, and we could tell if it's authentic or not. Because somebody might have drilled a hole in the middle and put dirt or something in there and then closed it up. But in Jesus' time, if you wanted to find out if you were authentic, if it was true silver or gold, there was only one way to do that. And that was to put it in a container and melt it down. And you would do that over a very, very, very hot fire, and it would melt down, and if there were any impurities in the gold or the silver, they would rise up to the top, and they called that the dross, the D-R-O-S-S, the dross, and they would scrape that off, and then you would knew you had refined silver or gold. And it says in the Psalms that God is like refined silver or gold 7 times 7. In other words, that he's been refined and refined and refined, and the person that should present themselves from God should be as refined as the most refined gold possible. That's what that means. And that's the word that Paul uses to Timothy. He says, present yourself as approved. as authentic, as genuine when you present yourself to God. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, Paul goes on and he says a number of different things in a number of different verses. For example, in verse 16, he says, avoid godless chatter. I guess there were these two guys named Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they were going around teaching that once you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the resurrection already happened in you, and you would not die. Now, I know you're saying, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, because they all died. But see, we have crazy people like that saying the same thing. Remember the Hale-Bopp comet? And the guy was saying, you know, the spaceship's going to come down and all that sort of thing. And people flocked to that sort of thing. And they had the same thing going on at the time of Paul. And I guess through these two guys, then they were spreading this thing around. And what Paul said is, don't follow those guys. Follow the word of truth. Present yourself as a genuine article. He also says, flee the evil desires of the youth and pursue these things. This is verse 22. He says, pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. He must also be able to gently instruct. What he's saying is, if you are a leader in God's church, if you're going to be a person that other people are going to follow in God's church, you must present yourself as an authentic person. You cannot be like a gold that has a lot of junk in it. You have to be refined gold. And there's only one way that you can become refined gold, and that is if sometimes you're heated up and you got to get some of that stuff that's in you and it becomes refined and it gets taken off. That's what James was talking about in James 1, where he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face any times of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, and it's that same word, that Greek word, that he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. God wants you to be a person that's refined, and there's only one way that can happen, and that's if you've been through the trials of life. If you've been there and you've had struggles in your life, and it's those times where you've reached out to God and you said, God, I need your help, and God's been there and he's helped you, and some of that dross gets taken away, and dross gets taken away, and pretty soon you're a refined character, a child of God. And when you have that, there's an incredible amount of work that he can do for you, do through you to the other people in this world, in this congregation, in this city. There's a guy, his name is Dan Kimball, and he writes about the emerging church. And I once had an opportunity to hear him speak, and he told his story. Now, when Dan Kimball was in his 20s, he was in a rockabilly band in England. Now, do you know what rockabilly is? You know, remember those in the 80s? You remember these guys? And they had the big hairdos? And he was in a rockabilly band. He says that he was first introduced to Jesus Christ. He was at a shopping mall. And while he was walking in the shopping mall, this guy came up to him and said, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, no. And he presented the message of the gospel. He said, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? The guy says, yeah. So he gives him a little button or a sticker, and he puts it on. He says, I'm saved. And that was the last he'd heard about anything until he got into his 20s. And he was in this rockabilly band in England, and his life was not going very well at all. And he was walking down the streets of London, and he's walking by this old, dusty church. And out in front of the church was this sandwich board. And in a handwritten sign, it said, Bible study. And he'd seen this sign several times, but his life was getting so low, and he knew he needed something in his life other than what he was doing. He decided, you know, I'm just going to go in there. I'm just going to peek my head in the door and see what it is. So one day, he walking by the sign, he sees it, he goes and he opens the door, and he figures he's going to go down a hall or whatever and kind of peek in a room. He opens the door and he walks in, and he's in the middle of the Bible study. And everybody in that Bible study is over the age of 75. About six or seven of them sitting around the table, and they all turn and look. He said, they've been putting that sign out for years and nobody'd ever come in. But they kept putting it out, Bible study. He walked in there and here's this guy decked out in his clothes with that haircut, walks in to this conservative group of guys sitting around for Bible study. He said, I want to turn around and leave like you would not believe. But one of the guys said, no, come and sit down, join us. So he did. He sat down, he joined that Bible study. And he joined, he came every week, week after week after week. And that was the turning point in his life. He said he learned more from those guys over 75, those refined men of God. He said he learned more from that than anything else he's ever learned from any seminary or any church. It was a group of seven individuals who took the time to share their life experiences and to help him with the struggles that he had in his life. See, those men were that kind of character. They were the pure milk. They were the ones that didn't have the rats crawling around in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Or the mice. They were the ones who had stuck with God and God had purified their life and they had gone through struggles and they'd reached out to God during those struggles and they'd learned so much about life from that. And now they had so much to offer and they just poured it out in this young man. He gave an interview that I read online and it said, the question was, who are the five most important people who have influenced your life? And he says this, the number one person who's influenced his life, top of the list, is Stuart Allen. He was 82 years old when I met him. I was living in London playing in a punk rockabilly band there at the time. Stuart was a pastor of a very small elderly church. By chance, or should I say it was God guiding me, I saw this church had a Bible study that I ended up going to for a year while I was living there. Stuart was intelligent. He allowed me to ask questions and never made me feel dumb. He never judged me for my haircut or my clothing. He influenced me in realizing you could be intelligent and be a Christian. He stirred a passion in me to know and study Scripture. And from this point, from this Bible study, he came back to the United States. He went to the seminary. He's actually now an author and a speaker as a pastor in a church in California. And I like reading him because he's talking about the emerging church and how the church is doing some amazing things to reach some amazing people in California. That's the type of person that God wants us to be, a refined person, a person that's been through life struggles and has come out with a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do that, when you're that type of person, you can make a profound and powerful impact in people's lives. But then Paul continues on. He says, not only that, but listen to this. This is in verse 20. He says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble purposes. And if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Let me ask you this question. Would you rather drink milk that had a rat in it from one of the most finest chalices that you could possibly find on the face of the earth? Or would you rather drink pure milk from an ugly chalice that everybody said was completely worthless? See, and I see you all nodding your head. It doesn't matter what the cup or the vessel is, does it? It simply doesn't matter. There's so many people that worry, you know, God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I know that you want to use my life, but, you know, I'm just not worthy of that. I'm just this little guy. I have nothing in my life from which you can do to use my life. And the fact is, that is not true, folks. That is absolutely not true. You are just the vessel. And what you carry inside of you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the powerful gospel. It is the pure gospel. And you can be any vessel of any size, of any type or shape. And God can use that vessel to pour out His love, His pure truth upon a world that so desperately needs it. There's a song that I used to sing a number of years ago that went like this. Lord, I'm a vessel made just for Thee, created by the Father in love specially. Lord, take my life now and use it every day. that through this earthen vessel, the world might know the way. It doesn't matter what type of vessel you are. God can still use you as a vessel to bring the incredible love and joy that he has for this earth. Don't forget it. But there is one more point that I want to make, and it's this. God wants you to live a refined and a pure life. He wants you to walk with him, be purified by him. He wants you to be a vessel that carries his love. But you're not going to do it perfectly. And that's what Paul says in verse 15. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. He says, don't be a perfect person, but do your best to present yourself as one approved. The fact is, those guys, those seven men in London, you know, all the people that you think are all holy, everybody falls short of God's glory. Nobody is perfectly pure and holy. And all of us, we may not have a mouse, you know, walking around in our soul, but we might have the remnants of that mouse still living in our soul. None of us are going to be able to present ourselves pure and holy to God on Judgment Day. But the fact is, there was one who was pure and holy, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. And because he lived a perfect life, when you stand before God, he's not going to see all that yuck in your life. All he's going to be able to see is the pure gold or the pure silver. As the psalmist says, you're going to be as white as snow standing for him because of the work that Jesus did. Present your life as one approved. Be a vessel. Be one that God can use in this world to do great things. In Jesus' name, amen.